All right. Thank you, Lord. Everybody can hear me properly?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you that we can come together. We ask you, Lord, that you may just open our minds, help us to hear, help us to, Lord, understand, and help us, Lord, to apply to our life, Lord, the things we're going to be sharing. We praise you and thank you, Lord, that we know that in your word, Lord, we have all the direction that we need, and that we have to have the wisdom to use it wisely and according to your direction and will. So right now, we just ask you, Lord, to give us a spirit of wisdom and understanding, Lord, to be able to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Good. So I'm going to be talking a bit outreach. We have a meeting a couple of weeks ago, and I think that, you know, from the result there, I feel that we need to expand on the topic. I was planning to do that anyway, even before, so that was kind of helping me to see where we are at and the things that we had to work on and understand. Before I had going to that, this week I was working on one of the Thursday Bible studies. And one of the things, you know, and, you know, cleaning up, removing some of the parts that we are removing from them. And really, there are three sections in the recording of the Zoom meeting or the, you know, the Thursday Bible study. It's a first session is a prayer and testimonies. The second prayer section is actually the teaching, and the other one is the questions. Now, the interesting thing that I found that actually in the, and I noticed that before, you know, in the section on prayer and testimony, especially testimony, there are really lots of good testimonies that are shared. And that's really, testimony is a really great way to witness in general. And I think, you know, we should use more of that. And it's an area that is actually, in a way, missing a bit in our website and videos and so on. And we could be use them to minister to people. And maybe have a special section in the website or whatever. Evidently, we need approval from the person that give the testimony. But, you know, the problem is it takes time. It is time-consuming and tedious work to do. So, you know, one would have to establish some criteria and some things. But I think, you know, once we did that on the website, and we have especially the website on the healing, a number of testimonies recorded there. But, you know, these are recent, and I think, you know, we should think about actually using, you know, that as one of the way to minister to people. And, you know, that's really something that is time consuming. It takes time, you know, and one has need discernment to discern which are worth publishing, selecting the clip, uploading them and so on, and cataloging them according to categories. But I really think that would be a good idea. We would have to get organized, but there are lots of things that we had to get organized on our technical work there with the website and YouTube and so on. So that's some work that I'm going to be looking into the future. But, you know, it's interesting to realize that most of the people that are joining the church now, they're actually coming from the web. You know, and They do searches on the web. They find out us about us. They looked at our website. If they like our website, they may even call or just pop in. And, the last 3 or 4 people, at least, they're all coming that way. So, and that kind of outreach is really a question of organizing it and everything in place. We have a number of websites. We have probably 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 or something like that, and in different areas. One have maybe in with Google Maps, another one with other places. And the thing is, it works, and quite a few people and I talked to, that's the way they found out about us. Now, that's not the only way to do it, but that's one of the way to work and do outreach. And maybe not the classical or, the traditional way of doing it, but we don't go by tradition. The tradition of man made the word of God no effect. That's what the Bible says. So we shouldn't go according to what people think, but we should go what work. So that, I thought that that was something that I should share, and maybe should plan to be more effective in that area, among other areas. And so with that, I like to just start with some ideas. Okay, I talked about testimonies here. A really good testimony is the best way to do personal witnessing. Okay, both to friends and to other people. One should really develop the focus, the attention to what the Lord does in our life, and use the things that the Lord does in our life to minister to others. Because, that's probably the most important and more effective thing than anything else. Okay. First of all, because nobody can say anything about you sharing your experiences, okay? And especially if you had the experience, when you share it, when you learn to share it, it becomes very effective. And it's really, no matter who you talk to, that's more effective than try to push on them your theology or your belief system. Because they don't care about what you believe. They care about, maybe knowing a story about you. And often this is completely forgotten and not used very much. But to me, no matter what type of outreach you do, that should be one of the most important component, because that proves that the Lord is working today and you are not just going by rules and regulations and religion and other things. So I think that that's an important component that often people miss, because they don't focus enough on what the Lord will do in their life. When instead is what sharing testimony does is reflects, the reality of God relationship, the relationship with God that you have. And, that is the easiest way to minister to people. You don't have to have be a theological expert. You don't need to do anything but tell your own stories. And storytelling is one of the most effective way to reach out to people. Okay. So this is really, you know, something that I would encourage everybody to, when they have something, you know, for example, to have a diary in which they write up the things that happen to them within the relationship with God. And to, you know, then work on them to see how they can be used, how you can minister to people through them. Evidently, people that have similar circumstances or situation, they are going to be interested in what you're saying. They may not believe you, or they may not, but they believe you more if you're telling a testimony than if you go around, you know, talking about your theology. Because nobody is interested in theology or in rules or regulations or things they should do and should not do. Especially when you're trying to reach to them. So to me, that is one of the most effective outreach tools. And I believe everybody should develop a number of personal testimonies for things that happen in their life that you can pull out of their sleeve at the moment when it's needed to minister to people in that particular area. That's not difficult to do. That is very easy to put together. And that gives glory to God, because what you're doing is not you're talking about what God does, the way he works. And that's better than and many of the stuff people go around saying, and they mess up stuff instead. You know, when you do that, generally, unless you really mess it up badly, you know, things should work out okay. And we are going to see about messing it up, what it means, and how people do that. But generally, it's because they think about what they want to do and what they want instead of really connecting with the person that they're ministering to. That's the last. See, people think about, you know, pray about being bold and being stuff like that, when instead they had to pray about being sensitive and being able to connect with the people and be compassionate rather than all this other stuff. They will do that, you know, what Jesus did in his ministry, the things that come up over and over and again, you know, that he was moved with compassion for the people that were around there. And that's why he did that, wasn't to get the crowd. He cared about their situation instead of caring about doing the ministry, or he cared instead of caring about doing some other things. I think that's where lots of people miss it. And, you know, our objective is not to spread religion or rules or even your theology. Is to, you know, give life and give a relationship and enable them to get into a relationship with God. Then, you know, it's the job of the Holy Spirit to guide them more than us. We can be helping if we have wisdom. But if we try to push our stuff, that's not going to help them. First of all, because they are not the same as you. And second, because they don't care about knowing what you believe. You know, you can, everybody has their own 5 cents to give, and who should you believe? I really tend not to believe anybody until something I deal with myself. So I think one has to understand the way, not what the way we think, but you have to put in the yourself in the shoes of the person you are ministering to. Okay, so that's it's just in general a starting concept that I really think is important to understand when you're talking about reaching out, when you're talking about ministering to people. Okay, is not you, is the Holy Spirit that has to minister to them. And don't try to take his place, because it doesn't work. All right, so let's start with some of the things that, you know, start at 2 or 3 scripture, and then we go into more of that. You know, first of all, you know, the way we can see, for example, the way Jesus reached to the people that became his disciples. Okay. It's evident that, you know, he started his ministry with being baptized by John the Baptist. When he was baptizing John the Baptist said some things. I don't think everybody saw the Holy Spirit coming down, but certainly Jesus did. Probably John the Baptist did too, from what they said there. But the other one didn't, but they heard what John the Baptist said. See, that was a spiritual experience not everybody gets. You can get spiritual experiences that you get. The person next to you doesn't know anything is happening. But that doesn't make it real. Okay. The thing is, they saw the way John the Baptist dealt with Jesus. And after, you know, when Jesus started asking them things, they knew, they understood, you know, something about him, and they responded to him. Okay. You see, for example, in Mark chapter 1, verse 16 says, as Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they immediately left the nets and followed him. You know, evidently, you know, doesn't matter who is the say or something like that. It just people don't leave what they are doing and their work that they are, their work to follow somebody they didn't understand and believe already. So they thought something already about Jesus. They learned about their sin and some. In some way, some operation. And so anyway, they were actually already, you know, around there. Okay. So, you know, and Jesus called them, okay, out to follow him. And says that I will make you fishers of men. So he's using the things that they understood about going fishing, and the, you know, he was telling that they were going to fish men instead of fish afterwards as they learn the following. It's interesting that, you know, the idea is that there are many parallels between fishing and reaching out and outreaching. Okay. There's a big difference between fishing and hunting. Okay. You don't go hunting for men, you go fishing for men. And a completely different attitude and a completely different handling of the situation. And I don't want to spend too much time going into the detail of that, but that applies immediately. Well, okay. So, when Jesus left, he left out with the Great Commission. Okay. He was already dead and came back to, you know, was resuscitated, okay, resurrected. And, you know, even when he left, you know, we can see, you know, people could see him, people could talk with him, he ministered with people around there for a number of days. But in Matthew 28:17 says, and they saw him and worshiped him, you know, just appeared to them. But some doubted. Now, how can you understand that they're seeing Jesus and people doubting? Okay, I mean, you had to be really, they saw him. He was there, was talking to them. Still, you know, didn't make sense to them. See, we understand and accept only the things we accept only the thing we really understand. The things we don't understand, we have a real problem. Even accepting them, even if they're in front of our nose. I can see that happening over and over again, all the time when I preach. Anyway, I'm going to talk about that later. So there he says, you know, they give the Great Commission, really is the mission for believers. Okay? It says, Jesus came and spoke to them, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. So that is, you know, the position that he has. Okay? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. I mean, this is pretty clear. I mean, the word here is pretty clear. And even if they are so clear here, you know, you see that they just didn't even hear them, even the disciples themselves, for the things that they said later on. Okay. It says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, here is a pretty good expression showing about, talking about the Trinity and really the name, really, you know, the implication here. I really don't think that the here is talking really about this just the ceremony of baptism. Here is talking about making disciples. You don't make him disciples baptizing them. The word baptizing means immersing them. And what he's talking about here is immersing them in the name of the Father and the Son, and in the name, the authority, what they are. Okay, you can do the ceremony and everything else. It's fine. There's nothing wrong, you know. But the point is what you're stressing here is not to a ceremony. What they're stressing here is to make them disciples. And disciples are people that learn, that grow, that develop, they apply the principle that Jesus taught and gave. And doesn't say to the Jews, and they keep thinking about that, says to all the nations. And even then, you know, the disciples really didn't get it. Because they were still stuck with that idea. Why? Because that's the only the way they thought. See, that's the way people hear when somebody says something. They hear everything filtered by their colored lenses or the way they think. And so everything gets colored by their background, their idea, their things they've been exposed to, and everything else. Okay. So, but then even to be clearer, okay, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you, and lo, I am, this is the way you baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I'm not against baptism. find me, that is a good thing. It's a step that we need to take. But that's not, that doesn't save you. I don't care if people says that's not a salvation mean. You are saved by believing in Jesus Christ and accepting him as your Lord and repenting of your sin. That involves no ceremony whatsoever. But people want to have a ceremony to do the spiritual things. And really, that's doing things upside down. That is emphasizing things that are not critical from the point of view of the spiritual dimension, but they are critical for the mentality of people that are stuck with religious ideas. Now, so teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you, and though I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And that cuts off, there are lots of ideas that just even these few verses, if taken seriously and if applied properly, cut off lots of men's ideas. One of them that, now the power of God, the operation of the gift and all the other stuff is done away with. Here it says, I am always with you, even to the end of the age. So, how can anybody justify on that scripture that kind of an idea? There is enough here to take down lots of men's ideas and religious ideas that are accepted by many. Now, and then I'm jumping, I'm just not going to do, jump into Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. So, and be assembled. So, this is another description of another moment before he leaves. and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. And he was talking about the Holy Spirit coming, the Holy Spirit coming on them. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so that exactly happened as he prophesied, and it took place later on, the day of Pentecost. This shows how the old celebration in the Old Testament was just nothing else than an announcement or a reflection of things to come, but weren't the real thing. Okay, so in later on, Acts 1:6, so it goes on, says, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, say, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? You see, if he just finished spread the news to all the world and they're asking him by the kingdom of Israel. Jesus didn't even mention anything in his teaching about the kingdom of Israel. He talked about the kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom of Israel. But they were fixated with a national Messiah. And Jesus refused to do that. That way he was killed. And he said to them, it's not for you to know when. You see, the way Jesus responds to them is, I find, interesting and useful for us. Okay. They are dull of hearing. They do not hear and understand what Jesus finished telling them and continued telling them for all this time. Does Jesus try to correct them? Doesn't even waste his time. Here he said, and he said to them, it is not for you to know the time and season which the Father has put in his own authority. Just doesn't even, he just skirmed them through. Just deal with them, you know, but says, but, and that brings up the important issue that he was trying to communicate to them, that, you know, maybe got to them finally, but you receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witness to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth. So there you go again, expanding the thing. It's not a local thing. You are going to just start here, but you're going to go everywhere. Okay? So, I mean, just this few verses that we quoted, there is so many elements that go against main tradition and point in the direction that Jesus wanted us to go. Okay. Verse 9. And now when he has spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Okay, so who also said, so everybody could see them evidently and heard them. Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into the heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will also come in like manner as you saw him to go into heaven. So, I mean, that for people that question the second coming, I mean, you know, and they don't believe in the second coming, there's going to be a physical second coming or whatever. I mean, that's another demolishing of all their theory and ideas. Man's ideas, just even in these few verses that I'm quoted today, are even demolished and really removed from the picture, and giving us directions for believing the things that are going to be taking place and what is expected from us and what is Jesus wants us to do. Okay. Everybody see what I'm talking about? Okay, I see one finger up, I mean, nothing else. Okay, one. All right. It's good to see that you're still awake. All right. So, so what Jesus told us to do, okay, was to make disciples, teaching them, okay, that's the Great Commission. Is not any other thing to make disciples. That means people that are wanting to grow in the Lord and that they're following Jesus and they're, you know, not just going to church. Okay. Jesus couldn't care less about people going to church and going through the religious activities. He wants people to grow spiritually and to become like him. Now, so that is what we try to do. That's our Great Commission. Now, you know, I think understanding what is involved and what, how to achieve that and how to, you know, what to expect is important, you know, in becoming disciples and becoming things. So we are going to see some of the elements that are coming into the picture for that. But I want to start with a study that was done about the year 2000, okay, that was, they made a survey or a study, I don't know exactly, I don't have the source now, but I had notes from before, you know, about 14,000 people. 14,000 people that were believers, churchgoers and believers, committed believers. I mean, spirit-filled believers. Okay. And there was some question, and I don't know how accurate the whole thing is in terms of really the analysis of the results and everything else, but it's really striking and interesting. Okay. The question was, what made you come to respond to Christ and join your church? That was the question. And I give you the percentage of people that responded different things. To start with, is the some said evangelistic meeting or TV shows. The percentage of those people was 0.5%. That means, you know, of all these believers, only 0.5% were in the place they were now because evangelistic meetings and TV shows. That's not a very effective way of spreading, making believers, so making disciples. Wouldn't you say? But I am going to give you some more ones. Okay. The second answer, some people says they had a special need. They made them seek help. The percentage of people with special needs that came, that were in the church, that came through the special need was between 1% and 2%. The third category was church visitations door to door. The percentage of these people was again 1% to 2% of the people. Only 1% to 2% of the people became believers that are going to church. Only 1% to 2%. The fourth category was people that got into a church, walked through the church, and liked it and got ministered and received something. This was between 2% and 3%. The other category was church programs they put together to attract people. Again, it was 2-3%. Then the next category of people coming was Sunday school, between 3% and 5%. This is 2000, it wasn't too far away from now, but was a significant difference from today, I would say. You know, Sunday school was between 3 and 5%. Then one of the factors that one of the answers was a pastor that was in a church, they liked it and they joined the church. That was between 5% and 6%. Now, all the others that are left, there was between 75% and 90%. The answer was a friend or a relative brought them to the Lord and brought them to church. Now, the percentage difference is, you know, so evident that should help us understand what produces result and what doesn't. Now, here doesn't have, internet reach and everything else. you know, and if you want, you can have that, you know, similar to, you know, going through, get information or something like that. But so that's still, you know, that is up to year 2000. You know, things have changed in the last 22 years, significantly in the spiritual dimension, both in the church and outside. There are things going on today that weren't going on then. Okay. But really, you can see one thing. Okay. This percentage were not of people that were contacted or were reached. Well, these are the people that actually came to the Lord. And so they were, how they, and where they were in the Lord at that time, and how they were reached. So, you know, that doesn't reflect the amount of effort and work that is required to reach those people. I hope you see that. Now, the questionnaire may not be well designed or whatever, but that was a major, 14,000 people wasn't you know, a small sample analysis. That's a lot of people. Okay. And the conclusion was pretty evident. Okay. Now, I don't have modern statistics, and I don't want to spend too much time on statistics because, you know, I care more about seeing what direction the world gives us to know, you know, what we can do. And there are many things we can do. But really what I would call that, and as people call it that way, is friendship evangelism. You have to come in contact with people, establish a relationship with them, develop a trust between you and them, ministering to them over a period of time, and that's going to produce that percentage that I was talking about before. Okay. And if you want, there is some practical evidences in real life. Where is the church growing quickly and where is not today? Okay. Well, if you see historically, the church has grown most than any other places in the whole world is China. That is outpaced all the other nations. And the percentage of increase of believers in that country is 7,500 since the time of Mao's revolution. 7,500%. That means it's an explosive growth that is nothing comparable to any other country. They were persecuted. They didn't go door to door. They didn't go, you know, advertising. They didn't do anything. The only way that this church grew there is person to person, friend to friend, family to family. And now, like the places where there is actually true revival are places in which there is persecution today. Take Iran. Iran is an example. So the environment conducting doesn't make anything. Those some of the factors that we generally look at, they want, you know, want the freedom. You don't need any freedom. The freedom comes from being a believer. Okay. So the other thing I wanted to stress, okay, is that often people see as outreach as an event that the church has put together. That's a wrong mentality. That is really not biblical. The difference is that, outreach is not an event, but it's a lifestyle that believers should have. Outreach is a lifestyle that goes on 24/7 with anybody you come in contact with, that put you in places at the right time, as the Holy Spirit guides you and set you up to share what you had to share, not a fixed program, not a fixed message, but something that is needed at that particular moment because He is setting it up for you. Now, I have see, if you start fixing the Holy Spirit in a time slot that is really a small fraction of your time, you are missing all the opportunities that God sent your way, because you are not open to listen to what the Spirit is saying at that moment, because you say, well, I'm busy doing something else. Doesn't matter how busy you are doing anything. If you remember, in the Bible, people were, the eunuch were going through the desert, and Philip was put there and shared just something that he heard. You see, that eunuch created all a Christian church in Ethiopia. It is still today alive. If Philip would have said, well, I'm too busy now to do nothing with him up. See, we have to realize outreach has to be based on the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that guides us and quickens us to minister to people, because He knows what is needed. And He set them up. And when He set you up, things are going to happen. Maybe not what you think, but things are going to happen in the right way. Okay. Now, I'm going to show you a matrix, okay, showing the ministry that is needed to make people get closer to the Lord. Unfortunately, it's not too clear, but I'm going to have this as a PDF file that you can download from the website. And so, I'm going to put it either tonight or tomorrow on the website so that you can see it. But gives a clear list of lots of information summarized on how to minister to people. It is not what is generally done, but is really what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. Now, let me share this on the screen. If I can get this thing going. Right. Here we go. Here it is. Now, in these things, it says it's micro decisions of faith, starting from the bottom. And I'm sorry if you cannot see very well, but especially if you have a small screen, you're going to have problem, but I'm going to say these things, speak these things. So, you know, and you are going to get a copy for yourself. So it's okay. But you see, here from here, on this part of the matrix, there are different type of people. Starting from the people farther away from God to the people that are closer to God. Okay? So it's starting with cynic down here, somebody that is cynic, then goes to somebody that is a skeptic, then goes to somebody that is a spectator. See, this is somebody that just wants to see and is just looking at it without really making any decision. Then there is a seeker. From the seeker, one become a believer. And from the believer, you know, one becomes a disciple. Now, on each of these levels, there are a number of decisions that have to be made to pass from one to the other. These are actual decisions in which the Holy Spirit has to do the work to change their way of thinking. Different people cannot be at different places in the scale. But yeah, here in this section, yeah, there are only the decisions that you have there to make. Like for example, in cynic, okay, one of the positions that they have is to avoid the truth. So that has to be changed. Okay. Going is on their own way. Aware of the messenger. I mean, aware of what you're saying, but really not responding. Recognizing the difference in the messenger. So you see, even then, they can see, you know, this person has something, but I'm not interested. And looking positively at the Bible. When we're getting down at this level here, they start to look positively in the Bible. They are still far from God, but there is already something created there. And so you can go through all the things, all the steps that they had to make, these actual decisions that they had to make, that the Holy Spirit has to make face and to make change of heart. Okay, so here identify some of the areas that are most important. And down here, there is much more. And we are going to see, I'm not going to talk about all of them at the moment, but really the way the analysis is done is for each of these decisions, you have to see what has to happen for them to come to that decision. It's not by getting the usual package things that is going to change their mind if somebody's down here instead of somebody's halfway through. The message that has to be done is completely different and the approach has to be completely different. Can you see that? If you have the same approach, you are going to produce more damage than good. Now, so the way to make the analysis is really to look at different things, okay? This is really, there are to be some transaction of information and communication between different levels, okay? You and them, okay? So the first thing you have to do is to see what the needs or the demand is that you had to overcome, the stuff that you had to overcome, the fact that you had to demolish, the stuff that has to be done. Then to do that, what you had to do to minister to them? What can you give them? Okay. After that, you know, how the delivery has to take place. What's the best place to do that? How is the best way to communicate it to them? And finally, you have to have clear goals of each step of the way so that you're actually working on the proper solution, not to try to, you know, so something that doesn't apply to them whatsoever, and you're wasting your time. Now you can, that becomes a natural way of thinking if you do this process regularly. because you had to connect to the person, not to what you want to do. Jesus connected to people, not to theology, not to what he knew. Sometimes even disregarded to what he knew, because that was the problem. So we are going to see this in detail, because you're going to learn quite a bit by going through some of these things from the Bible, not from this. Okay. Now, it's interesting that there are books on outreach that are 100 years old. And even then, the people that understood something had the right approach. One of the people that in around 1900 was doing lots of evangelism and wrote lots of books on how to reach, how to work for Christ, how to bring people to Christ, how to outreach, how to, you know, he had made many books. I have many of them too. Okay, was Torrey. Torrey wrote lots of these books on outreach and bringing people to Christ. That was 1900. And he always made a list of different type of people and how you deal with them. He didn't have just one thing that I'm going to do, the same things that I'm going to say to everybody and expect to get results. The same leader formula don't work. Even that, okay, he always recognized that the rigid approach does not work. The spiritual condition of the person should be considered and is critical. And also, you know, for us, we have to consider the environment in which we are, because the number of people in a certain environment is going to be different than what is now. Now, you know, it's going to be, it's very different from that time. Now, I have seen great damage done by people. They just want to push religion instead of really being sensitive to the position of the person and their heart rather than their theology. I will ever remember, and I share with some of you already, I'm sure, about a babysitter we have at, we had a church, which we hired to help us to look after the children in the Sunday school. This was a Spanish lady. I think his name was
Rosa.
Rosa, yeah, that's right. Thank you. I wasn't coming. Thank you. Rosa. And we ministered to them over a period of time. She was Roman Catholic, like most of the people coming from Spain or maybe South America, I don't know. But anyway, and we succeeded to bring her to the Lord, getting accept Jesus and ask us to be baptized. So we baptized her. And then she was so keen and so happy that she brought the mother to church, which was also Catholic and, you know, didn't have any information we gave her before. But somebody at church, you know, was talking with her and made a big story because she said that she was praying to the Virgin Mary. And she was so devastated that we both lost them in a really silly way. Because somebody doesn't understand, that's not a way to make people change their mind. They are completely lost them. They're out of reach. And the thing is, we had to consider the spiritual position of the person, you know, and be considered an understanding if we want to get anywhere. Don't try to fix them when they cannot be fixed because they don't understand things. It's not religion that we have to push on, or things that you have to do or not to do, is to get them closer to God. When they got closer to God, it's the Holy Spirit that cleaned their life, not us. Now, see, the basic principle, understand the basic principle that they are in the Bible about reaching out to people, that we can see from just about, especially Jesus. Jesus is our example, okay? And we want to give people life, not religion, a relationship with the Lord, positive experiences so that they can grow in the Lord, no rules to follow or a theology to believe in. That's the coming at the right time. Okay, we want to produce a change in their heart before that fixing their thinking. Okay, and to do that, we need to connect at the heart level. That is critical, not at the mind level. It's the Holy Spirit that brings them to conviction about changing. But we have to communicate and have the right attitude in doing that. Okay. Now, there are a number of parts in the Bible that we are going to use to show some of these things, and are going to relate them to the this matrix I showed you before, the different levels, okay? But to start with, there is something that is quite general. And the thing that is quite general is the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower is Jesus teaching about kingdom principles that have to do with spiritual change of the impact of the word on people and how that takes place. And I think it's going to be useful for us to look at that on a moment. I'm going to remove here now this matrix because we don't need it. Okay, so I can see you better. Everybody's following me up to now.
Yep.
Does it make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Absolutely.
We need to understand that sometime, and that happens to me all the time, you know, I say something and people understand what they understand, which is not generally what I say. It happened last Sunday. You know, after I explained very clearly about God's position, I heard somebody said, from what I heard saying, they didn't understand anything. It's like I didn't say anything. And the reason is because we hear things according to what we think. So the actual concept that we need to receive are not producing results in us, are filtered out. So here, I don't know if we have the time to cover this. We'll try, at least we start. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 1, says, on the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And a great multitude were gathered together with him so that he got into the boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So, you know, he needed a place for people to be able to hear. And he was ministering to people, to lots of people. Okay. So this is not ministry one-to-one. This is ministering to a crowd. Okay. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not make much earth, they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no roots, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground, and it yielded a crop, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ear to hear, let him hear. And this is something that Jesus repeated all the time, because he knew that doesn't matter what he was saying, people wouldn't get it. Only some, very few, would get it. So here is dividing in, four groups. Of these four groups, only one group got anything out of the word that was preached. The one that was by the wayside didn't get anything. The one that was from stony ground, they responded, but didn't last, and after the experience was just useless. The third one, took roots, but there were other things there competing and took over. All those three of them, okay, that probably represent a large part of the people that hear anything, got nothing. Of the remaining, according to how the ground yielded the crop, but according to the goodness of the ground. It doesn't say that, but that's the implication. Okay. Now, the disciple came and said to him, why did you speak in parables? And Jesus answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom, but to them it has not been given. You see, he is... Now let's continue. Whoever asks, to him more will be given. And he will have abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. So he's giving the general principle here. Okay. The fact that if you already have something, you're going, what you're going to get is according to what you got already. This is the law of exponential growth, okay? Both applies to everything in nature. Applies to understanding, applies to knowledge, applies to money, applies to anything. The more you have of these things, the more you're going to get. The least you have, probably the least you're going to lose because you don't know. Says, or in then the prophet Isaiah was fulfilled. Therefore I speak to them in parable because they do not see, seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And then the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, seeing you will see and not perceive. And the reason for that is their heart of these people has grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes are they have closed. It's not that God closes eyes to people and or harden their hearts or whatever. Okay. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn, so that I should heal them or make them well. It says, but blessed are you whose eyes and for your eyes for they see and your ears that they hear. For surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Now, here he was talking about with his disciples. They were there to get things. The other one evidently weren't getting what he was preaching. Okay? Because, you know, here he's talking about that even in the past, righteous men desired to see these things, but didn't get it. Okay. Why didn't they get it? Well, simply because they did not have the opportunity. See, the opportunity has to come. And we have to take the opportunity. This is why it's so important that we allow what God is doing at a certain time, the Holy Spirit is doing, you know, to use us to reach out to the people. Okay, doesn't matter if people were righteous, but they could not get it because it wasn't the time yet. There is a time, timing, and the Holy Spirit intervention in being able to receive certain things. Today, there is some understanding in some areas that never was available in Christianity. And the reason for that is not because people are so much more spiritual, it's because the time is ripe and the time is ready for that to happen. There is anything that God does, anything that the Holy Spirit does, has a time with it. You know, before Jesus came, after Adam, there was a many years. And now, you know, the 2,000-year cycle that is critical and is evident in all the scriptures is being fulfilled. And we are a time for a new transition. This is a time of transition. And the time of transition is going to bring about a change in the environment and the opportunity that are available for us. And are available for us to minister to others. I can see people that today are growing much faster when you bring them to the Lord than they were growing when I started ministering to people in the 70s. Why? They're smarter now. Because now there is more of a spiritual revelation in the air, the Holy Spirit works differently, and we are getting closer to it, to the final transition. But what makes important thing is for us to connect with people, connect with their heart, be compassionate, sensitive to their feeling, and not to be just pushing around our ideas. The Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. He knows how to change the heart. We cannot change the heart by just operating at the mind level. See, this is one of the major things that happen when we start doing this in the right way. We are going to start to see the Holy Spirit working in a way that we never saw him working before. Supernaturally directing us, supernaturally creating opportunities. It's not a question of trying to push our ideas. See, it's a question of trying to see what God is doing and helping along. Anytime, any place, anywhere. And Jesus explained the parable later on, okay, about, you know, the stony ground, you know, the stony places, and the you know, the people that are, you know, have no understanding. You know, if anyone hear the word, verse 19, and does not understand it, you know, this is evidently something that the ground is not being worked. So it doesn't understand it because, why don't understand it? Because nobody worked the ground. The ground is not being prepared. Okay, so in that case, the wicked one comes and snatches away, the birds comes and take it away. Okay, when instead the city is receiving stony places in which there are things that are hard, or the hardness in the heart, you know, they may be where they don't fully understand, but they understand a bit, it looks good, they respond, but as soon as there is a they found out some of the problem, they give up, and they stumble and they leave everything, and the whole thing is cultivation of the ground is important. Not only cultivation, but what is inside there is critical, okay? And spiritual work is required to prepare the ground for people. And trying to deal with people that are skeptic or cynical and trying to get resolved there is just a complete waste of time, shouldn't even be tried. What we should do is to cultivate the ground. And what you cultivate the ground with, we are going to see. Okay. We have to keep things at the level that they can receive. It's no use to give pearls to the swine. Jesus said it very clearly and instructed us that way. We better learn to do, because what happens is what Jesus said, the swine shall trample on the pearls that you are giving them and trample on you too. And then you wonder why. And you think, you know, that's not it. Okay. The thorn, as if nothing else, the care of the world, okay, the deceitfulness of riches and so on, that become, so that makes it become unfruitful, and they are caught up in those things. Only those that are open to the word and work on them, because why? Because it's good ground. The good ground is the ground that is being cultivated. But they hear the word and understand it, they bear fruit. According to the degree of cultivation and care, they're going to produce 100-fold, 60, and 30. So that's the thing we have to understand. And so, for example, talking about the first level, the cynics and the skeptics. The problem is that they have emotional bondage that has to be broken. Okay. We have to overcome the barrier to listen and to understand and to receive, which is a number of them. Could be denial, could be indifference, could be fear, could be antagonism, could be previous experiences, doesn't matter what it is. Your goal with them is to make them trust you. Jesus is too far away to do anything with them. They had to be able to trust you, and you had to produce an interest, an attraction, a desire to know more. If you achieve that, that's all you're going to get. You had to answer their questions. And their major question that they have, remember, they are selfish, and they are fleshy. The major question they have is, what is in for me? Unfortunately, even some Christians have been around for Christians for a long time, that they still away the reason, but that's okay, because they keep their fleshiness. But the point is, this is the things, you know. And the typical example of something like that is Jesus ministering to the woman on the well and to the Nicodemus. Okay. They really had to get to a place in which needed ministry, and Jesus produced a general ministry to them. But actually, it was very effective, because they produced a major change, but didn't go into any detail or any stuff or anything. Anyway, I'm not going to go into them, as we are going to go into the next slide. I want to give you some time to ask questions. And before we close, so. You can ask questions if you want.
Just near the beginning, you mentioned the 14,000 people. Okay, so the 14,000 people, okay, the church they went into was a spiritual
church. It was not just the church.
Yeah.
Were many churches.
Okay.
But were spiritual people with it that actually, you know, was churches that were considered, you know, at least spirit-filled or evangelical.
Okay.
So people that they consider themselves born again and everything else.
People who truly believed in their heart.
A different level, because they don't necessarily were all disciples, you know, may have been just people just born again or whatever.
Okay.
But that doesn't matter. The point is they were there and they were part of the church and they were, you know, they got in.
Mm-hmm.
And they were stable people in the church.
Is this throughout the whole course of time?
No. That was at a certain year 2000, there was a survey made around.
I understand. Okay.
So, Pastor, in the time of Nicodemus and the woman at the well, the Samaritan, people all believed in God, though. I mean, the switch was to make them accept Jesus Christ as the Savior, but everybody was believing in God. And nowadays, in my environment, and maybe it's in other people's environments too, I mean, we're dealing with people who do not even acknowledge God in their life.
Yeah,
and
that's
so
right.
Those are the skeptics and the others.
Yeah, but the point is, believing in God is not a relationship with God.
No, but we also have to break, you know, to make them kind of consider that God exists, because they don't even heart or mind or.
Yeah, but that's part of, that's where your testimony becomes so important.
Okay.
That's where, you know, they had to see God at work. Not your theology, but, you know, what happened to you, what happened to others, and produce interest. They had to see the impact that God had in your life in specific situations. And they're going to, you see, one of the first things that happen with people you start becoming a believer, that they are evaluating you all the time.
That's true.
Okay.
That's what I would do.
Well, that's good. But, you know, I know, for example, when I was working with the government, you know, I didn't need necessarily to go and even talk about the Lord. They knew it anyway. Now, with some people I talked and brought them to the Lord. But they knew, and they will even tell me. You know, I remember there was a party, and I was going to, in the office, I was going there, and they were talking to each other, a group of people, and I went there, and they stopped talking. I said, no, go ahead, keep talking. I was the director of the thing. Well, no, with you, we just, you know, it's not the thing to talk about. That was a joke. They were talking, you know. So. But there was in other places too. Okay. I mean, we had to identify ourselves. We don't need to be obnoxious, but we had to be clear. And we had to, you know, take a position and stand for our beliefs. And that is in itself a witness, the way we do that. Now, doesn't stop there, okay? I'm not going to go into all the detail, and I have been, you know, evidently, even if you take, when Torrey wrote the books about bringing people to the Lord and to Christ and everything else, you know, the distribution of people in the world was different than the one is today. I did a bit of a graphic that is my interpretation. There is not any statistics, just the way I see it, and I'm going to show it to you. Yeah, I'm going to share the graphic. Where it is? Where is it? Yeah. There. Okay, these are the two curves of the different group. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to make this come up. I had to do something. Oh, yeah. All right. Okay, this is a percentage of people in a certain category. You can see the different categories before. Okay. In those days, probably the cynic and the skeptic were very few. Today, our very percentage is very high. Okay. This is today's curve, the distribution of people. And this is to year 1900 curve in those days. Now we are being in a completely different environment with this distribution of people. You had to gear the outreach to reach out all these people here. It is much more difficult. There are many more. And it's going to be much more difficult to reach.
So, Pastor, based on that, all the more reason to be focused on understanding the needs and understanding their problems.
Absolutely.
Now, when you were talking there, it struck a chord with me when you were talking about being full of the Holy Spirit and guided by the Holy Spirit while you're assessing the prospective individual in conversing with them, it struck a chord with me because for many years I had a hard time understanding how I could relate with people. But then somebody said something in very plain language. He said, what you have to do is you have to get pretty from the inside out, not from the outside in. And this is exactly what you were saying there, was that we have a compassion for individuals on the inside. You rely on the Holy Spirit to tell you what their needs are and how to address their needs. This is what I was hearing from you there.
Absolutely.
Very key.
Yeah, you see, the focus is to have your antenna up, to pick up the opportunity that comes, and the Holy Spirit is providing to you that you had to take and exploit by reaching, mostly by the things that they say, not the things that you say. See, you go on the tail of what they say to direct them and to minister to them in the areas that are going to open them up. Okay. This is what Jesus did with Nicodemus.
Yes.
Okay. He used his words to start ministering to the Nicodemus' word to minister to him. He uses the same thing with the woman at the well, uses her words. Doesn't matter what level, see, that applies everywhere. But the way, what they are going to say is going to be different because they are at a different level. So doesn't matter what level you are at, don't expect them to be up here when they are down here. But have compassion for where they are and allow the opportunity that the Holy Spirit is going to bring you in your head at that particular moment, you know, the light goes on and you know what to say and you say it and that produces an impact on them. It may be doesn't matter what level you are doing. You know, I mean, at that moment you may be cultivating.
Yes, and they're picking up something from inside, they're picking up the Holy Spirit. Well, they were telling me back then
Yeah.
They were telling something very elementary. They were saying the eyes are the windows of the soul, but it's much more than that.
Yeah.
That's it's much more. We have a much more of an understanding, but that's how they could get through to me.
Sure.
Back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, but that, with that, you know, that's why this is the best school of the Holy Spirit is actually in evangelism.
Yes, yes.
Okay? Because that's when God really works supernaturally just about every day, if you let him.
Yeah.
But if you blow it up by trying to push religion or try push theology, you just end up getting nowhere and getting frustrated. You don't cultivate people, you turn them off.
Pastor, my wife requested quite a while ago to say something, and I've been interrupting.
Go ahead, Marilyn.
Yes, a few days ago, I met a lady who has three children.
Yep.
In the garage while I was coming up to the apartment. And her name is Siddiqa, comes from Bangladesh, and she has a son who is studying to be a doctor.
Okay.
And she's quite concerned about him because he comes home very late in the morning, like about 2 o'clock in the morning, because he has a part-time job. He's undergraduating work at the CHEO. Mm-hmm. And he's got a part-time job. So I said, you want me to pray for him? And she said, oh, yes, please do.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So anyway, I prayed for him. And she really was quite impressed. And she said, thank you so much. A few days later, I met her son, the one that's going to be studying for a doctor. Yeah. And I couldn't believe it. He was so happy that somebody was thinking about him and praying for him.
Oh, good.
So that was an opportunity for me to do that.
Yeah. Amen. Absolutely. You see that, you know, praying for people is important, you know, for their needs. Makes an enormous difference because it shows that you care about them. They don't care about you if they care, if you don't care about them.
That's right. Uh-huh. Yeah. So I hope this is going to be an ongoing relationship.
I'm sure it will. I mean, even had an effect on the son. See, that's what really, see, now they're there, you know, in the same building. Okay, you're going to meet them regularly.
Yes.
Yes.
They are there. You have a great opportunity to talk to them repeatedly and to keep cultivating them until the time when you go all the way.
Yeah.
But if you try to do it the first time, probably you lose them completely.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And she's here alone with those three children, and her husband is back in Bangladesh, and he's a professor in some university.
Okay. That's good. Well, you may be able, I don't know, possibly they could be, I mean, you know, there are Christians there too, so you don't know really, but probably not, but doesn't matter. The point is that you planted a good seed and you had the opportunity to make that seed grow.
That's true. Yes, I hope it's... I hope through prayer. Through prayer,
just keep praying. Keep praying for her anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, whenever you say, you know, I keep praying for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. Thank you,
Pastor. I have a.
Thanks for sharing. Yes, let's, Lucy.
When you talked about Matthew 13:19, that the ground has not been prepared and we need to do some spiritual work is required to prepare the ground.
Yeah.
Could you share with us how we could help to prepare that ground for those that we meet?
Well, I mean,
like praying for them or?
Well, you can pray for them, but the thing is, you know, you work on them. What Marilyn did, she prepared the ground.
Okay.
Okay, she planted some seed that they can take. It's no use to plant seed that they cannot take or, you know, expect from them to do things that they cannot handle. Do things that they can, that, you know, connect with them. See what their needs are and address their needs.
Okay.
That ministers to them.
Okay. So if people are sick.
They have to have a positive experience coming from you so that they can see that you care about them. They have to see that you have compassion for their situation, that you want to help them in one way or another.
Okay.
And that, you know, breaks the ground that needs to be, you know, worked for you to plant more seeds, stronger seeds, bigger seeds.
So not to plant the seed, like you said, we have to go slowly to the level that they can.
You have to be sensitive to where they are at. Jesus, you know, if you see, for example, Jesus' operation in ministering to people, he didn't go around say he was the Messiah to anybody. Almost didn't go around to telling even to the disciples. And when somebody was said, he said, don't tell anybody.
But we have to let the Holy Spirit do.
The Holy Spirit prepares people. He brings people to us at a certain level. Okay. We have to determine the level. That means, you know, let them talk. As they talk, and give you the information that you need. From the information. You see, at the beginning, when they don't know very much, you see, the only thing that you can touch is not much understanding. They don't have understanding, but their emotions, yes. So you have to touch their emotions. The emotional level, the first things that you have to deal with. The blockage that they have on the emotional level. If somebody went there and witnessed to them in a negative way, you know, you may have to overcome the problem that they brought to them because they are going to be negative in the way dealing with you. They expect something that not necessarily what you're going to do. So by doing something different, you're already ministering to them.
Well, thank you for explaining this better. Thank you, Pastor.
Maurizio,
yeah.
Several months ago, Nicole and I were at our favorite place, Harvey's, and we were sitting at a table, and one of the young men came in. He looked, oh my goodness, the poor guy. Anyway, he came in and he went up to this couple and he asked them for money, and they refused. So he stood in the middle of Harvey's, and he said, listen, I'm really hungry. Can anybody help me? So I got up and I went up to him and I went to the front to where they order food. And I said, give him whatever he needs. So he got a hamburger and he got a milkshake and some fries. And he sat down and he was telling us a little bit of his story that he had been in the hospital for 3 days because he had been walking for 3 days. Anyway, we spoke to him a little bit, you know, about the Lord, and he just wolfed the food down. He was so hungry. It was so sad. Anyway, I hope we blessed him. Now, I don't know if I'm going to see this young man again. I hope I do. But Nicole and I were talking afterwards, you know, and it really hurt our hearts. And I said, you know, maybe someday he's going to realize that what we did for him is going to make the light bulb go off in his head. And maybe he, you know, will turn to the Lord. I don't know. But anyway, I just hope that someday he comes back and we see him there.
See him or not, you planted the seed and work on the ground.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
So that was good. Okay.
Yeah, amen.
You know, so if somebody comes to ask for money and go to buy drugs. That's not the thing to do, to give the money. But if somebody wants to eat some food and is in a bad shape, you know, it's okay to do that. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amen. Now, you know, I feel he was blessed.
You know, the thing is, that's not the only thing that we should be doing.
No, for sure.
All right? Because there are other things that we know we can do every time, every day, lots of work, you know, mm-hmm. people around mm-hmm. us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mm-hmm. a thing that we had to become sensitized.
Yeah.
Okay. We had to see opportunities.
Mm.
And we had to become opportunistic. Okay. See, well, but that's for the Lord. Evidently, you know, we have to see the opportunity that comes as the Holy Spirit is going to show us what to do given the situation, what to say, and how to minister to them. But the thing is, there are so many. You know, the more we become sensitive, the more you're going to find more around.
Amen. Amen.
Because that's what the Lord starts to do with us.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Yeah. Thanks, Mortio.
But the most effective way is when we do those things with the people that are close to us.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. People that mm-hmm. we come on a regular basis. Those are the people that we have to be smart about doing the right thing so that we can minister to them. Like, for example, your son, your daughter, and so on.
Yeah.
But we have to make the connection. Sure. See, but when we start understanding the principle and we start understanding, you know, that we have to not do anything that the way we feel, but what they feel mm-hmm. is important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And make a difference, so that you you have the opportunity to work on them on a regular basis.
Amen. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, for sure. Thank you, Mauricio.
You're welcome.
You know, I find this very interesting because I think the Lord made me realize something today, is that before people can open up to the Lord, if they have a big problem in front of them, they have to have something that brings back some harmony and some peace inside them. Like in the case of this young man, he needed food. I mean, so you go to that before you can address another need. Because a friend of mine came recently and, you know, we've been talking about the Lord, but she came to me and she wanted to go see a lady with hypnosis. And at first I was, oh my God, oh my God. But then the Lord showed me that she needed to have peace inside her because she was so distressed that she couldn't bear anything that would disturb her first. So he made me understand that she needed to just find that place of peace before she could go beyond that to hear more about the Lord. So sometimes, you know, I wanted to.
Well,
just a little thing, but.
Yeah, one can find ways to minister to them and provide them some of that peace.
Yes.
Okay. And that is where praying with them, like Marilyn did, is a really effective way. Because if we pray and, you know, get into the Spirit, allow the Spirit to speak to us and through us, you know, we may produce significant results in them so that they actually see that we got something that they didn't know that was possible. That's why prayer with them, if they let us, is a very important part of the ministry that we do to them.
Yeah. Yeah, we prayed, Nicole and I prayed for this young man.
Yeah.
But I don't know, it probably went in one ear and out the other because he was stoned. He was, you know, whatever. But I'm just hoping that whatever it is that we did for him by praying with him or whatever is going to help him somehow. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fine. That's good. See, that's what Jesus did. He prayed for people for healing. He prayed for people for peace. Or he prayed for people with their needs. See, you address their needs in the way you can, because the Spirit is inside you, and you know, God is trying to get to them. Just think about the fact that it's not you. God is trying to reach them and minister to them and show them that he is real. And he put you there in that place at that moment, not by chance, okay, but by Spirit. So you act and believe for the Holy Spirit to work through you and to show you things. Take your time to talk, you know, and then just pray for them and release the Spirit upon them. And bring peace. That's one of the things that you can do most of the time. And you can pray until they get something. I really think, you know, that sometime I have more faith in praying for non-believers than believers. Because I know that God wants to reach them. So I can ask anything. I mean, consider the fact that Jesus healed everybody that was not a believer. I mean, was not a born again.
If I remember that young man, I think he didn't heal for 3 days. That's what he said.
Pardon me?
I said the young man that that we saw at that place there, I think he said that he didn't eat for 3 days.
He had just come out of the hospital. He had just come out of the hospital because he was so weak and tired and everything, because he had been walking apparently for 3 days. It was really sad. I was crying afterwards. I was so upset that this poor kid had, you know, gone through this. Like, he was maybe in his early 30s, maybe late 20s, something like that. I mean, he was really in bad shape. He really was. Mm-hmm. Anyway, hopefully something touched him.
Yeah. Well, you blessed him.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. So all questions are done. Finished for tonight?
No. This is very important, Pastor, this teaching. That's going to help. It's going to help me a lot more, you know, to deal.
If you are working with somebody, you know, that's really an important part of learning to operate with the Holy Spirit and to make that grow, instead of giving up, instead of looking at negative things, you know, just make that, learn to make that grow by ministering to them in such a way that they receive.
Pastor Rizzo.
Yes, Patty.
I want to say thanks for what you share tonight and what everybody's been sharing. And really, I'm learning not only that I need to be more Christ-like, but that to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And maybe that sometimes I found out lately that I've come across as being very self-righteous, and that really kind of, that opened my eyes that that's really not what I want to be. Mm-hmm. I want to be like Jesus and what you were sharing tonight. And I think God gives us opportunities to hone in on our character.
Yeah.
And to be more like him, because if they don't see Jesus in us, then they're not going to pay attention to anything we've got to say, especially when we come across like that. And we had something happen here that we were told at the office that I had to take down whatever I had on my door down. On the outside of the door, the apartment door. And what I had on the apartment door was the same stuff I had when I was on the 12th floor. So now I'm on the second floor.
Okay.
And I looked at what I had, and then I went over to the office and said, I think the problem here is not what I had hanging. It's what I had saying that Jesus Christ is Lord taped to the front of the door. Because the flags that I had on had nothing, didn't say anything about Jesus. And I know that for the past while that I've been on this floor, nothing that I had up there actually said anything, even though I have flags that I can put up that say Jesus on them. And I went over to the office and just showed her what I had. And then I kind of felt afterwards, maybe that wasn't, you didn't need to do that. Why were you doing that? Why were you trying to prove to them something here? And then I thought, okay, so when happened that the superintendent came in, I made a comment and I didn't know if he knew anything about the situation. And I just said, oh, I took everything off the door. And he proceeded to tell me that the person actually told him, mentioned it to him. And he told the office, and he felt that they should send a notice around and tell everybody to take their stuff off the door because nobody's supposed to have anything on the outside of the door. And I realized, oh my goodness. I said, you know what? I said, it doesn't matter. I don't have to have anything on my outside of the door. I'm telling this to the super here. And I said, it's okay. I don't need to have anything on the outside of the door. If I'm not supposed to put it on the door, I will not put it on the door. I said, God is bigger than the outside of my door. And so therefore, I'm going to let God deal with the situation and trust him. And I was trying to calm the superintendent down because I didn't want him to you know. And he said, oh, I said, don't worry about it. I said, God's bigger than my door.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, okay. You know, so we're just trusting God because it's whoever said it is a woman. And I said to Chantel, it's either somebody on our floor or whatever. But I said, whatever we're going to do, we're going to love them to pieces and allow God to work in us, even if we don't know who it is, to minister to the people that he's bringing across our path. And I said, that's how we're going to handle it and trust God to work here. Not get so upset and try to prove my rights here. It's not a matter of rights. It's God working in the situation for his glory. And I need to keep my mouth shut and trust him again and allow him to work through us that they see Christ and nobody else.
Amen.
I'm finished. Sorry for all that.
It's all right.
Yeah, so... And it's really, that's it. It's discipleship and God using each one of us to minister to those that he brings across our path.
Yeah.
And he gives us opportunities.
Yes.
We just have to be open to,
Yeah. Well, you know, things like that can be opportunities in terms
exactly.
of, you know, to see how to, what, you know, I mean, just, what else to be, you know, just let the things that happen guide you in what you can do to reach out to people.
Yes.
And all the things become, you know, without taking it in a negative way, but just taking it in such a way that become opportunities to minister.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't want to fight for... It's not a point of fighting for my rights. It's a point of letting God work here.
That's right.
Yeah. And you know what Philippians, that in Philippians it said that that Jesus made himself no reputation. We don't have to defend our reputation. Just allow God to fight for us.
Yeah.
And allow him to work. And that, I think, speaks louder than anything else.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Great. And he humbled himself. That's what I need. I was going to say, well, I was going to say maybe he could humble me more, but I don't want to go there. I don't want to say that. But anyways, well, whatever's going to work, you know, to really, reach others.
Sometimes he does that too.
I mean, yeah, and sometimes it needs to be done.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's the way we actually learn. Because, you know, I mean, he did a few times with me, and it's been good.
Yeah.
I learned some lessons.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think we should close. It's past 9 o'clock. And some people go to work. Praise the Lord. Closing prayer. Thank you, Father. We thank you and praise you, Lord. You, Lord, guide us by your Holy Spirit into all truth. And you want us to help others to be guided by the same Holy Spirit. Lord, it's not by might or not by power, it's by my Spirit, Lord. It's not, Lord, the flesh that overcomes, but the Spirit. So, Lord, we just ask you that you may learn, Lord, to minister in the power of the Spirit, not according to our own strength, righteousness, or abilities, but to let, Lord, you guide us as we see, Lord, you doing, as you bring opportunities to us, as you, Lord, show us what we can do, because, Lord, we can do much more than we can ever imagine. We can make a difference in people's life as they come in contact with us, because we got something that they don't have, Lord, you. And so we just share you and your Spirit and your truth and your life, Lord, and your peace and all those things, Lord, that we can experience and should experience. So, Lord, that we can be channels of your power and of your victory, Lord. And the more, Lord, we allow that to happen, the greater, Lord, is the power that is demonstrated on us. And we thank you and praise you, Lord, for that. Know, Lord, that you can use us and you want to use us to reach those that are around us and to make a difference in their life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen.